Facebook pages.
Good evening, everyone. We're getting tonight's meeting started. I ask that we all rise for the pledge of the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The clerk will call the roll, please.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Present.
Dr. Enix.
Present.
Ms. Kubiacek.
Present.
Ms. Leung.
Present.
Dr. Van Wert.
Present.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Present.
And Mr. Cologne.
Present. Thank you, Ms. Miller. Moving on to the approval of the minutes for December 5th, 2023 council meeting. Any comments relative to the approval of the minutes? Seeing none, the minutes stand approved. So we will move on to our first public comment. As is custom, this is for any subject not being voted on this evening. With a 5-minute time limit, we have 13 speakers signed up. So I will be reminding everyone of the 5 minutes when we get to it. And for our YouTube audience following along at home, if you wanted to watch the live stream of the video, please forward ahead to where we are in the meeting. So we'll go through our list first. Our first speaker is Pam Briody.
She spoke during committee.
Oh, thank you. Correction, we have 12 people signed up to speak this evening.
It might be 11.
And then the next person, I believe it's Sherry Bafulio. I may be grossly mispronouncing that. I apologize if I am.
No, I think that was part of the
committee. Okay.
11.
Kim Schaefer?
Yep.
Schaefer? Schaefer?
Actually, this is on the agenda.
Yeah, so I signed later on this. I do something non-related that's not related to the agenda.
Oh, okay.
So I think I'm on that list later also.
If you wanted to address council for something not being voted on this evening, the lectern is yours.
Okay.
For whatever is not on the agenda this evening.
So thank you. Kim Schaefer, 735 Center Street. As mentioned, I was here earlier and strongly supportive of the animal ordinance that will be considered later. But I am also here to support my neighbor Alex and to talk about the extreme difficulties of parking on the 700 block of Center Street for reasons that do not need to be problems. We have lived at 735 Center Street since 2005, so I think 18 years now. And it is nearly impossible to have friends over to our homes because of the 2-hour parking limits that restrictions that we are subjected to. I just last week had some friends over for dinner. I had 5 other couples, and it's frankly humiliating to have to tell people you can come to our house, but you have to park 3 blocks away. And walk to our house, or else you will have to leave after 2 hours. It makes us feel very it makes us feel like children living on our street who want to have a life. And I had guests over who used mobility devices, who were in their 70s, and I had to tell them to park 3 blocks away. And it is there is no reason that we should be subjected to 2-hour parking on our street. There are places within several blocks that do not have the time limits. They are not overwhelmed with parking. It is just fine. We have tried to work with Alex to sign petitions and then to get you to hear our voices. We just are ready for change, and this doesn't have to be this big of a deal. Did I miss anything? Okay. That concludes my remarks on parking.
Thank you. And then I do see for everyone who signed up to talk about agenda items, I see that, and I'll make sure I go back to everyone when that time comes. Our next speaker, Mark Will Weber, followed by Sally Will Weber.
We're still at 66 West Elizabeth Avenue, like the last five times we were here. Haven't moved yet, but I want to thank Council again for at least the opportunity to speak. I mentioned last time I was in that we had started a Facebook page called The Drip that's reaching out to people in the city that have had problems with water billing and such. I think last time I was in here, we started in Thanksgiving and we had 80 members. Last time I was here, we have 142, so we're getting bigger. I suspect maybe by Easter we'll be 300, 500 people, I hope. I do want to say that I was pleased last week to see that, because when you start something like this, you think, what am I doing? Nobody's going to look at this. And the young woman that was in here last week that spoke later in the agenda, Abiel Solitario, came up to me afterwards and said, boy, thanks for putting that page up, because I had no idea there was other people having similar problems like we've had. And also, I didn't know I could speak before council, that kind of thing. So I think it was very valuable, made me feel good. I told her to thank Mr. Boscola more than me, but that's one of the things we're trying to get with the page is some visibility. We want a place, a forum for people to come and put their problems up there and also share information because nobody knows what to do. You're told the minimal from sewer and water about how to contest your bill, that kind of thing. And I think it's good that she knows that we had the same problem and that we have other problems. And we've found probably at least a half dozen people with very similar problems. We've gotten bills that are at least double now. In her case, in our case, it's more like four or five times their normal rate. My wife says 10 times, I don't know. Somewhere in there. It's a big bill. Now, her situation is really, it's hauntingly similar to ours. She went to England for 3 weeks and came back and had she was there on her honeymoon and visiting relatives in England and got an extra wedding gift when she got back, 48,000 gallon charge from the water department. And her father lives next door and checked on it every day, virtually, an engineer, an award-winning engineer from H.T. Lyons, and saw zero amiss in the house. They have one bathroom and one sink. And it's really, it's disgusting is what it is, because this young woman, when I was coaching at Liberty High School, track and cross country, she was on the swim team. I often saw that she placed in meets and stuff. Now a middle school teacher in the school district. I believe she's on some boards at Edgeboro Moravian Church. So a real solid contributor to the fabric of the community and a real dynamic woman, if I can say, having met her for all of 10 minutes. So it's really disheartening to think that she's going to go through what we went through, which is no fun. And I'm hoping that you people step in, council steps in, and forms, as we've been asking, some sort of subcommittee to give a second pair of eyes on the water department on these, just on the mega issues. I'm not saying about every guy that comes in here with, hey, my bill was up $3.11 from last quarter. But in these situations where it's double or triple or four times, something needs to be done, I believe. I think it was councilperson Kuyatak a couple months ago when we were in here that said, wow, you know, how would you like to have that happen to you? And it's worth asking. It's it can be a brutal situation. I wonder when the director was in Italy in September if he came back and I was the head of the water department and said, hey, Ed, when you were looking at the Sistine Chapel and dining al fresco on the Amalfi Coast, you used 80,000 gallons of water. and I want you to pay me next week or we'll start the penalty phase. So it's a brutal thing to go through. I hope you do something for this young woman. And that's all I got.
Thank you, Mr. Woolweber.
Hey, Sally Woolweber, 66 West Elizabeth Avenue. First, I'd like to thank council for allowing us to speak, and I'd like to thank the press, the Bethlehem Press and Lehigh Valley Live. Both have been covering us, and we were really shocked a week ago Sunday when we saw our story and the Scalatario story on the front page of the Express Times. That made it very relevant. We got a lot of feedback from that, and it just made us feel like we were doing something right. At the end of the last council meeting, Ms. Crancy Smith asked several pertinent questions to Mr. Boscola, and we felt some of his answers were less than forthcoming. The first thing he said was that our case had been addressed, and we don't feel that our case had been addressed. We were told to pay our bill or we would be fined. Even when our bill was in dispute, we received a delinquent notice. We had made several phone calls to get that rectified because the right hand did not know what the left hand was doing. During an early phone call with Jason, who is Mr. Boscola's right-hand man, we tried to really reach a compromise about all the water they claimed we had used. And he literally laughed at me and said, huh, we don't do things like that. And I thought, why not? We're good citizens. We've lived here for 45 years. We pay our bills. We've never asked you for anything. Why can't you compromise? It was really eye-opening. If he had compromised, this would have been resolved months ago. We wouldn't be here tonight. The second thing we thought was questionable was that Mr. Boscola said that the meters were highly reliable. We have found that the meters have not been highly reliable. The ones being put in across the country, if you check the news, if you go on the drip, you can see the blogs about it. How many of these reliable meters have created major issues in cities? And cities are paying thousands and thousands of dollars to correct it. So when we have an engineer here like Mr. Sein speaking, and then Mr. Boscola gets up and says they're highly reliable, it's like the head's in the sand. Like, get your heads out of the sand, because this is going to become a major issue. And when it does, it's not going to be pleasant to be dealt with. It could be dealt with now if people would realize it. The last thing is Mr. Boscola said that there were one or two odd cases. We were an odd case. We have found 8 odd cases just in the short time we've been dealing with this issue. So in that 4-month period, if we have found 8 legitimate odd cases, there have to be many, many more out there. So at the end of Ms. Crancy Smith's comments, she asked whether council should do something, and Mr. Boscola didn't even address that. But that's what we've been asking you to do, is address it, form a subcommittee, just for these odd cases. Because it's not fun being a constituent, being a good citizen, and having to go through what we went through. It's been a nightmare, really. So please pay attention, be aware, look on the drip. You don't have to join it, you can just look and see what's on there. Because we're not really letting this go. This is a real problem. Thank you.
Okay, just steal her last 40 seconds. I just want to clear.
That's not how this works.
Gave me 9 minutes the other day.
You hear our solicitor to my left, sir. Thank you. Our next speaker signed up is Ms. Mary Jo McCool.
Indulge me, I've been practicing and I'm a few seconds over, but hear me out, please. Mary Jo McCool, 449 Grandview Boulevard. Every time I mention the tax and sewer fee increases, everyone's response is, it's only $2 increase per month for each. The tax increase for me will be more per month. Bethlehem received $10 million in grant money for improvements to Broad Street. Was that money accounted for in the 2024 budget? Neither Lehigh nor Northampton counties are proposing any tax increases for the next year. Lehigh County has not raised taxes in about 5 years. Allentown turned control of their water and sewer over to Lehigh County years ago. According to Bethlehem's presentation of the sewer increase, it misrepresented that information. Also, regarding the sewer fee increase, I wonder if someone can tell the residents the exact dollar amount requested from the state with regards to the funds allocated from casino money and where it was going to be allocated. I do not recall any mention of these funds during the budget hearing or last council meeting. While the county tax is not raising taxes and the city tax is going up, I'm extremely fearful of the school tax increasing. If that happens, will the response from the district be, it's only such and such a month? Residents, especially seniors, will further struggle. I read an article that plans are in the works to replace Fountain Hill Elementary School at the cost of $70 million. There are also plans to replace Thomas Jefferson and William Penn schools in the future. These two schools, built in 1972, are 51 years young. My alma mater, Deerup High School, first opened in 1959 and is structurally sound, and there are no plans to replace it. I guess good and timely maintenance are the key. What a novel idea. I've investigated exactly what sister cities are and the benefits. While I understand they strengthen cultural and historical bonds, promote peace, increase youth education, among other ideas. My investigation found that tourism may enhance the city financially. I wonder if the city has any concrete dollar amounts they can share. My investigation also found that the greatest fiscal impact is through trade with the sister cities. Can someone provide any information about what Bethlehem might be trading with our sister cities in Japan, Germany, or Puerto Rico? While I understand the concept of sister cities, I wonder if the financial gains outweigh the critical financial resources spent. Would Bethlehem have had to have a tax increase? Just a thought, not trying to step on toes or egos. While those here are aware of a 5-minute time allotment, I wonder if the council would consider weekly town hall meetings where there would be more in-depth exchange on citizens' concerns. Oh wait, West Bethlehem does not have a community center. I have only ever seen Mr. Cologne walk in my neighborhood, but only when requested by two neighbors and myself regarding proposed Hanover apartments. I only saw two candidates canvassing this past election cycle. I guess once you're in office, there's no further need to be in touch with constituents. One final thought, and this I believe is important. 2 or 3 weeks ago, my garage door opener was not working. I would have pulled my car out and gone back in, hold the button in, down, until the door came completely down. I cleaned the sensors so I knew it was not, there was not something blocking them. This went on for a week. Lo and behold, once it warmed up a bit, everything worked fine. It has been getting colder and yet it is still working. My point is that anything mechanical can malfunction and return to proper working order. This could very well have happened with the water meters of the residents with exorbitant water bills. Should residents install surveillance cameras to watch their meters? What would Mr. Buscola's response be to an exorbitant bill if residents turned their water off when leaving on vacation and then receive a massive bill? Would it still be a leaky toilet or pipe? My understanding is that there are 3 meter readers for the city. Is it possible that their equipment failed? In the future, with new meters installed, these 3 positions will be obsolete. Errors can occur at any time or place. If Mr. Buscola is so sure it was a leaking toilet or a leak on the part of the resident, why not the possibility of mechanical or human error on the city? I guess I'm not here to point the finger at anyone, but in retail, the customer is always right. My guess is once calculated, the residents have no recourse except to pay. Do residents pay for the water used and the runoff fee with the flushing of hydrants? Are these 2 items included in our taxes? Clarity to the residents, I believe, is in order if the city is imposing a tax increase. My brother-in-law is a retired civil engineer and part owner of a firm. He informed me that the stormwater fee is to pay to treat the water before running into rivers and streams to avoid polluting them. While out walking, I noticed storm drains tagged with labels stating, no dumping, drains into river. If this is true, how and when is this water collected and treated?
Ms. McCool, I'm going to
thank
ask you.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, ma'am.
I said I was going to 2 minutes over.
Thank you, Ms. McCool. Our next speaker, Mr. Fallweiler.
Good evening, Jim Fallweiler, 2222 Main Street. A government structure with laws and processes along with checks and balances are designed to control the domination of one element or one person. But here in Bethlehem, we are closer to the latter than the former. Executive and legislative branches, authorities, boards, and commissions have their roles, but here they are becoming virtually ignored, steamrolled, or corrupted through time. We appear to be on a downward corruptive path with our mayor, who may not only use the legitimate power of his position, but also adds a level of force against those in any position of curiosity or disagreement. And this comes from an individual publicly labeled and explicative from his staff during one of these very meetings. The BPA and DCED clearly do his bidding, while authorities and boards lose people of legitimate independence over time. BPA now talks out of all parts of their body at whatever group they are in front of. Why did we build recent garages that are totally underutilized in accordance with standards they now demand for the core Center City Walnut Street garage? The harm is currently standing on principle versus the South Bethlehem Historical Conservation Commission that now virtually means nothing as they approve bulldozing block by block for new apartments. Zoning and planning boards and rules mean nothing if we perpetually waive everything for any apartment or other developer or development or directed plans like the upcoming West Bethlehem Alley Home Program. And a not so comical look into the potential future if we stay on these paths. Are we heading toward mandated increased density like during the Russian Revolution model, wherein Dr. Zhivago, the local communist rep, takes over a house and moves in 13 families against the homeowner's will? Do we want to become an entire high-density city like Hoboken or Jersey City? Will we look to eventually repurpose the golf courses, church properties, and some other parts for high-density affordable housing, and then due to the high-density housing everywhere, charge everybody for parking permits? For many of the city's newer programs, what are the true end games? And consider that whatever we do, it may never be enough. My wife and I drove around the city Saturday night looking at Christmas lights with some out-of-town guests, and they even noticed considerably less Christmas lights throughout the city than in previous years. What an analogy for Bethlehem's trends. In the shadows, behind closed doors, funneling money to chosen ones, and turning on any person or business who even dares ask a question. There is diminishing sunshine in Bethlehem. Thus, the critical and important role of your body here. As we wrap up this council service and shortly seat a new council, I hope everyone moving forward remembers and refreshes their roles and duties and chooses the hard right versus the easy wrongs. In conclusion, I commend those on council that have fought and continue to fight the good fight for the sake of the city. I would like to commend and thank the departing council members for their time in the arena and service to the city. Doctors Paige Van Vert and Wendelin Enix, thank you for your service. And may everyone have a safe and peaceful holiday season. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fallweiler. Our next speaker, Mr. Alex Hirsch.
Good name is Alex Hirsch. I live at 738 Center Street, part-time. I haven't been here for a while. It was for my own well-being. I needed to take a break from coming to these meetings every 2 weeks, which I've now been doing for a year and a half. It's a long time. Let me start with a positive. I want to thank the city. This is my understanding of this might not be complete, so I'm sorry if I'm leaving anybody out. I believe the city and the Hotel Bethlehem have been supportive of continuing the St. Patrick's Day Parade, the Parade of Shamrocks, which is put together by an organization that I've been involved with for decades, the Celtic Cultural Alliance. So thank you guys very much for that. It was a very real possibility of not doing that this year, at least. So there's my positive. Back into the reality that I've been coming here forever, asking for what I believe is a modest accommodation, as a person who has the outrageous reality of an out-of-state license plate on my car, despite owning a home here within the city limits and not renting it out to anybody else. It's just a family home that I'm in part-time, and I'm not able to get a parking permit. So I took some time off coming to these meetings because it was, I felt like, not a great use of my time, which then got me thinking about the concept of time suck. So that's what I'm going to talk about for my remaining 3 minutes and 10 seconds. I did not practice this. I have no idea how long this would take to read. But that's fine, because I'm confident in a couple weeks I'll have an opportunity to continue it. So time suck is a pervasive force in our lives, a relentless undertow that drags us into the depths of distraction and inefficiency. It's the subtle thief of our most precious resource, time, leaving us wondering where the hours went and why our to-do lists remain untouched. In this age of constant connectivity, we find ourselves ensnared by the siren call of social media, although I did text my wife and ask her to join the drip. Where was I? Social media, the black hole of binge watching, and the labyrinth of mindless scrolling. It's fascinating how time can slip away unnoticed, sucked into the vortex of endless notifications and digital stimuli. The very devices designed to enhance our productivity often become accomplices in the grand theft of our time. The allure of a quick check-in on social media evolves into a marathon of scrolling as minutes turn into hours, and the real world fades into the background, much like reality when you're in this chamber. But it's not just the digital realm that contributes to this temporal vacuum. Meetings that could have been emails, procrastination disguised as multitasking, and of course, committees upon committees upon committees. These are all manifestations of the insidious time suck. We become unwitting participants in a cosmic joke where time slips through our fingers like sand, leaving us with a sense of unfulfillment and frustration, like asking for a parking permit when you own a house in a city that has permitted parking for residents. This might be a good moment to mention that I've been coming to these meetings seeking assistance for 522 days. We're literally at the 1.5 year point. It was last December when I had a glimmer of hope and I was told that some things were being looked into, maybe changes to the ordinance or just some mechanism where I might be able to, you know, park legally. That was December of 2023. We're now at the last meeting. December of 2022. We're now at the last meeting of 2023, and literally nothing has happened other than lots of meetings and some kind words of encouragement, for which I do appreciate that, except I kind of suspect that it's just tormenting me and nothing's really going to ever happen. But if it does, I stand here ready for that glorious moment when I can register my vehicle as a residential parker within the city of Bethlehem. And I'll continue in 2 weeks. Have a wonderful holiday, and I hope next year is a great one.
Thank you, Mr. Hirsch. Our next speaker signed up, Ms. Angela Mitchell.
I reside at 430 Cherokee Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and I'm here once again, and I want to know, what is the plan to fix the traffic issue on Delaware Avenue and 3rd Street and Cherokee in 2024? As we know that a stoplight is needed. It has been brought to my attention that the Wilbur Mansion and apartments were supposed to be responsible for putting a traffic light at the corner. I don't know how true it is, but can you bring some clarity to that? I'm concerned about the traffic on Cherokee that speeds through, and I wanted to know what can we do about placing the speed bumps on the 400 block and also stop signs at the 4th Street and Cherokee, 4th Street and Cherokee and Dakota Street. So I would appreciate kindly if somebody can give me feedback on what's happening for 2024. Number two, I want to know what's going on with the Airbnb issue. I know you gave me a contact person, but I have not been able to reach her or she has not responded to me. The other thing that I want to find out is about the parking meters. Okay, AARP CSEP program, senior program, is located at 41 East Broad Street. The parking meters, some of the people that do their training there are handicapped. So there's no way to park in the parking lot and feed it 5 cents. So they got to keep going downstairs every hour to put another 5 cents so they can get parking for an hour. So I want to find out, is there anything that can be done as far as the kiosk in itself to include that for people that are handicapped? The other thing that I'm concerned about is once again the trash. It's been now 3 weeks that one of the neighbors placed sofas outside, leather sofas, and it's still been there. They're still there, and I have contacted the office, and no one has picked them up. There's trash across the street where people have moved out. And I want to know, what can we do as far as the trash is concerned? And last, the leaves and the street cleaning. There's a lot of leaves that fall, but they're not getting picked up. I thank you for making the effort and sweep cleaning. I think it was the 13, 14, and 15. But we still have leaves because people don't, that park on the street do not live on our street. So you couldn't get in between the curb and the cars that are there. And finally, I just want to see that the street cleaning, that the Cherokee Street will be placed on the calendar every year with street cleaning. We used to get street cleaning automatically. We don't get that anymore. So I'm wondering, what can we do? Because it's not only Cherokee Street. There's other streets that are having this same problem. And I don't know if you can do something as far as enforcing the landlords to clean up their property, like maybe fining them or sending them notice because it's not fair to everybody else that all this garbage is left on the block and people don't clean up on theirs, don't take care of their sidewalk. So thank you for allowing me to share this, and I hope to get here some good news.
Thank you, Ms. Mitchell. I won't speak for the parking authority. I will just briefly say, as it relates to like stop signs, speed bumps, traffic lights, there is information on the city website under traffic, and I'll direct you again to Mr. Alcall, the nice gentleman in the dark suit in the front row here, who is our director of public works, who should be able to speak with you briefly after the meeting. And Ms. Laura Collins, the nice lady with the laptop in the center row, is the director of community economic development and trash enforcement and code enforcement as it relates to Airbnb falls under her department, so she could potentially spend some time just giving you insight to how that enforcement works. If you want to stick around for after the meeting now.
Please be aware, I have spoken to each of the individuals, and I have not gotten anywhere with it, so that's
understood, Ms. Mitchell. I don't mean to interrupt you, ma'am, but I do want to move on through our list. If you want to hang out to the end of the meeting, happy to talk further about it. Our next speaker signed up, Mr. Ben Felser.
Good evening. I'm Ben Felser at 3342 Fox Drive in Bethlehem. I'm vice chair of the Bethlehem Environmental Advisory Council, or EAC. Tonight, I'm speaking on behalf of my fellow EAC members, Lynn Rothman, Ben Guthrie, Vibhor Kumar, Mandy Tolino, Katie Trembler, and Mike Topping. In accordance with our EAC bylaws, we've submitted a year-end report for 2023, which can be found on our website, www.bethlehemeac.org. Tonight, I will summarize that report along with Jane Cook, chair of our Bethlehem Backyards for Wildlife Committee. Our 2023 meetings have been held both virtually via Zoom and in person at Northampton Community College Fowler Family Center. In accordance with the Sunshine Laws, our meetings are open to the public. Our most important work is supporting the city's Climate Action Plan, or CAP. EAC members are represented on the city's internal CAP committees for public engagement, environmental justice, transportation and mobility, local food and waste, and land use and green space. During the course of the year, a city representative from each of the 9 CAP committees attended one of our meetings, providing an update and opportunity to ask questions. In January, the EAC re-engaged our Green Transportation, Waste Reduction, and Burrtown PA committees. Our committees include volunteers from the community. The Burrtown PA committee submitted the first annual report required by the state, and we're proud to report that Bethlehem achieved the silver level. There are 4 levels, with silver the third and gold the highest. We're also a Burrtown event at Camel's Hump. We held a Burrtown event at Camel's Hump in May. The Green Committee and the Bethlehem Backyards for Wildlife Committee planted native vegetation along the perimeter of Madison Park, engaging area residents to help. We hope to conduct plantings in other areas in 2024. Our Transportation Committee has been working with the city on ways to make electric vehicle chargers available for those that do not have access to a private garage. Our Waste Reduction Committee did extensive research to answer council members' questions regarding a proposed single-use plastic bag ban. In 2024, we plan to address food waste, including composting. We coordinated 2 tours of the Tice Cornfield Recycling Center and Yard Waste Facility. Our great appreciation goes to Michael Halforster, Director of Recycling, for conducting the tours and for making Bethlehem's Recycling Center so successful. In August, EAC members met with Michael Alcall, Director of Public Works, Chris Sewell, Superintendent of Grounds Maintenance, and Jody Evans, Recreation Director, to discuss water fountains in our city parks and the city in general. Thanks to these representatives, the city installed a modern water fountain at the redesigned Fairview Park as a pilot project. The Department of Planning and Zoning gives the EAC the opportunity to make recommendations for proposed development. All of our correspondence can be found on our website. In 2023, we reviewed 18 proposed projects. Other EAC activities included speaking at the Climate Action Press Conference at Bethlehem City Hall, an interview for the Bethlehem Corner, a presentation at the Iacocca Global Entrepreneurship Program, a summer program hosted by Lehigh University, tabling at the Friendship Park Block Party, and the Rose Fest at the Rose Garden. Our tabling presence at events is now more professional thanks to the city for providing us with a table and tablecloth complete with our EAC logo. We also host speakers at EAC monthly meetings. In addition to the City Forester and Northside Alive Coordinator, We had four presentations by Lehigh University students on research topics ranging from air quality to how planting more trees can promote equality. Our EAC member monitored students for two of these projects. Our EAC worked with other Lehigh Valley EACs to present a forum at the PBS 39 Media Center with a panel discussion on funding municipal energy efficiency and renewable energy programs. In 2024, we look forward to working with the Nature Nurture Center's Create Connections project. Nurture Nature Center will work with Easton and Bethlehem to increase environmental literacy around climate action, engaging municipal leaders, universities, and community organizations that work with the underserved. Bethlehem Backyards for Wildlife is a longtime active standing committee of the EAC with a dedicated group of volunteers. I turn now to Jane Cook, Chair of Bethlehem Backyards for Wildlife, to continue this report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Felzer, and we will move on to our next speaker, Jane Cook.
Thank you, Ben. Good evening. I'm Jane Cook at 208 West Langhorne Avenue in Bethlehem. The Bethlehem Backyards for Wildlife is a group of eight dedicated volunteers who work with the City of Bethlehem to support biodiversity and to minimize negative environmental impacts by encouraging city residents, schools, businesses, and other organizations to use wildlife-friendly and sustainable garden practices. The native plant demonstration gardens that are maintained by this committee and by other community volunteers helping us include the Meadow on the South Side Greenway, the Hoover Mason Trestle at the Steel Stacks, the Rose Garden Pollinator Garden on the west side of Bethlehem, and the native perennial plantings at Madison Park on the south side. At the Rose Garden Pollinator Garden along 8th Avenue on the west side of Bethlehem, we have continued maintenance on two native perennial beds that we designed and planted in 2019. And now those are lush examples of native plants doing their thing. At the larger Rose Garden area, we also continued maintenance of the refurbished garden beds. New volunteers joined us to help maintain the 10 garden beds that are up on the Hoover Mason Trestle at the Steel Stacks and also at the Meadow on the Southside Greenway. Both of these are very valuable assets to the City of Bethlehem. At the Meadow, we refurbished the boundary walkway that surrounds the two planted areas by removing weeds that had taken over the walkway, and we reset each of the large stones that define those two spaces' borders. In May, a native redbud tree was planted in the Meadow Garden in memory of Ilse Stoll to recognize her positive impact of teaching gardeners throughout the Lehigh Valley the importance of planting native perennials to help pollinators and to provide native habitat. New for 2023, we worked together with members of the Bethlehem EAC and organized a park renovation project, which Ben referred to, at Madison Park on the south side. This lovely neighborhood park had been recently refurbished with new playground equipment and a pavilion. We applied for and received a grant from the Pennsylvania Native Plant Society to purchase 250 native perennials. Along with the neighbors who live near the park, a cardboard and compost mulching project at the end of April prepared three of the beds along the length of chain link fence for planting in the summer. The city crews supplied a water cube so that the plants could be adequately watered during this hot, dry summer and through the early fall. The city forester also arranged for four native trees to be planted in the park. This park gets a lot of use from the neighborhood residents, and it now serves as a model for how to use native trees and perennial flowers to create a beautiful, welcoming, and sustaining environment. Our special thanks go to Chris Sewell and the Public Works Department and his crews for their assistance with all of the above projects, and to Tony Hanna for his continuing support of improvements at the Hoover Mason Trestle. In conclusion this evening, the EAC members and the volunteers would like to give appreciation to Tad Miller, the city clerk, and to Bettina Bubba, the assistant city clerk, for their assistance. They respond immediately to all of our requests and facilitate communication between the EAC and the City Council. Additional appreciation to Stephanie Aguello, Chief of Staff, for facilitating communication with the Mayor's Office. We're grateful to Darlene Heller, Director of Planning and Zoning, and to Craig Piper, Assistant Director of Planning and Zoning, for their generous amount of time that they give working with the EAC. We also acknowledge and thank Mike Alcall, Director of Public Works, for his department's ongoing contributions to the city. We recognize and appreciate our EAC City Council Liaison, Kira Wilhelm, for her research, support, and attendance at the meetings. The EAC commends the City Council and the administration for their support of the CAP and the initiatives to make Bethlehem a greener, more pedestrian, and bike-friendly city. In 2024, we will continue to assist in implementing the goals and strategies of the Climate Action Plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Our last speaker previously signed up, Connie Daniels. Good evening.
Hello. If you don't mind, I'd like to give you a handout.
Yeah.
I only printed two copies because I didn't want to run through my ink.
Oh, sure.
So I'll give one to you. Okay. And I'm also going to leave you with my cell phone.
You trust me?
Yes. So you can go through pictures at speed.
Before you start, I'm not going to go through your personal cell phone, but we could talk about you emailing any photos to the clerk afterwards.
I can do that. Okay. All right. Hello, everyone. Joe Daniels, or Connie Daniels. I reside at 829 Broadway. Lifelong resident of 829 Broadway. I'm going to speak on two topics. I'm going to read directly from here so I don't miss anything and it can go a little quicker. So topic number one I want to discuss is the $10 million grant from the Secretary of Transportation. Huge win for the city, but I'm not sure it's slated for the best usage. So monies are slated for Broad Street Active Transportation Program, which will include medians between Getter and North New Street, and as well as Center to High Street. Question is, what is the purpose and the benefit of the medians? Second is curb bump outs, which increases the sidewalk's widths, crosswalks, bike lanes, pedestrian refuge islands to benefit local businesses, pedestrians, and bike riders. I would like to learn more about how and who makes the decisions for grant money usage. Is there any community involvement? Was a study conducted? Although these improvements would be of benefit, myself and other residents, homeowners, and constituents find that some of these monies could be put to better use, specifically improving various accident-prone intersections. Examples, Fayette Street and Broadway has had numerous accidents to date. There has been nothing done by the city to improve this and other like intersections around the city. Fayette being turned into a one-way going north would reduce the number of accidents substantially. Streets that are in disrepair, either due to UGI or neglect, is another area where the money could be put to use. Not to say that all the funds need to be taken away from the Broad Street program, but I think monies could be put to better use elsewhere. Spoke with the parking authority and found out the following. They do not monitor areas where there isn't two-hour parking, which is everything outside of the business districts. Why is this? People are literally parking up to the corners where there should be 20 to 30 feet of empty space. This is where signage, enforcement, and parking bollards will come into place. I have pictures of parking bollards on that last single page that I handed out. They would be perfect for solution for the corners where people are literally parking up to the corner and you have to go halfway into the intersection to see what's coming in either direction on the street that you're trying to pull out into. That's one of the serious issues at Fayette and Broad. It's a serious issue almost all the way down Cherokee Street from West 3rd to Fayette Street. Those bollards would not allow anybody to park within 20 to 30 feet. So something I would hope to be seriously considered. I also understand and appreciate the city must do everything it can to help small businesses thrive, but it doesn't seem as though the city takes the everyday residents, homeowners, and visitors into consideration when making these decisions. All the improvements seem to be in business districts only. The second item I'm going to discuss is on landlords. You have handouts for something that came to my attention yesterday. A property located at 71 East Broad Street, one of the tenants there has been complaining for years of repairs that need to take place. The roof finally caved in yesterday, not literally, but somewhat, due to all the rains that took place over the weekend. There was a flood. That property is ran by Apex Management and owned by Matador Holding Company with a mailing address of 2005 City Line Road here in Bethlehem. I'm not going to mention the tenant's name, but there, again, there have been numerous complaints made over the past 2 years that have gone unanswered. I understand that the city inspector was out there 2 years ago, never did anything. And once I email you the pictures that I have on my cell phone, the apartment is in disrepair. And
let me continue.
Due to all the rain, the son that lives there actually had to take off from school yesterday to call his father to remove everything from the bedroom. The maintenance guy did show today and is like, yeah, that roof should have been replaced years ago. And since I'm on the landlord situation, just found out about these ADUs, have to read up more about that, but initially not a fan. One, as another gentleman stated, you know, Bethlehem's small city, love that small city charm. Adding ADUs and alleyways or anywhere else, you're taking away from that small city charm. We already have a parking issue. We already have a traffic issue. We already have poor landlord issues that aren't being tended to. I understand we need affordable housing, but I'd like for us to come up with another solution, if at all possible. But again, I have to study this more and see what it's all about in its totality. That's all I have, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There is Mr. Miller, City Clerk's card here with his email. If you want to email him any photos or and comments related
right
to
now.
Him,
thank you.
We'll forward them to the rest of the council. Thank you. So that exhausts our list of those who had previously signed up. Again, we're still on our public comment for anything not being voted on this evening. So I'll go around the room. Was there anyone to the left who wanted to make comment on anything we're not voting on tonight? Being none, I turn to the wide center. Is there anyone who wants to make comment? Mr. Caratola, and then Mr. Hattie.
How y'all doing? Hope you're all ready for Christmas. I know all you politicians are going to hate me for this one. Well, you already hate me mostly anyway, but that's okay. But anyway, I really got to figure something out here, and we should be a trendsetters, being we're in Bethlehem, and named after the city of a certain guy, and I won't mention his name, because I don't want to be called anti-Semitic. Okay, so, thing is, okay, us veterans, we served in the military for, during Vietnam, for about $20,000 a year. Somehow the pay scale of elected officials who serve our country, when you're elected official, you are serving, whether you're city, state, federal, you are serving your country. And somehow the lawyers in Congress are getting most of those lawyers that are politicians raises. I see something wrong with that, and so do a lot of other veterans. You serve your country, you should be getting no more than an enlisted man or woman gets. Mark this down that I'm saying this, please. You'll delete a lot of things that I say. I want that to be on record that I am saying that elected officials should be paid no more than enlisted men or women. They gave their all. Sure, many of you went to college and some of you went to Harvard, but the thing is, you're serving your country. And if we make it, now I know you don't want to take a dock and pay, but if just took a little dock and pay, you'd be trendsetters for the whole country, and the United States of America would be out of the red. If elected officials would take the same wage that an enlisted man or woman gets, because you are serving your country, whether it's city, state, county, federal, whatever it may be. You're serving, keep in mind, you're serving your country. And if you can't afford that, to serve your country for 3 years, at least, you know, or two, you know, but it should be no more than three, but anyway, however, if you do a good job, you get a raise, get a, like a sergeant would get, or a lieutenant, well, colonel, corporal, whatever, you know, get paid a little bit more. But still, the scale should be no more than an enlisted man, because those men and women, a lot of them gave their all. You're not fighting any war. behind a desk serving your government as a city official, county, federal, or county, whatever. Thing is, you should be actually. Politicians, if they negotiate properly with other countries, there may be less wars. But not all politicians do that. But anyway, that's just my thought for Christmas. For New Year's resolution, I think we should do that to avoid all the New Year's revolutions. So I hope you take what I say in your heart, and even if it's just a little bit less, just $1,000 less, you're making a statement to the whole country. If the whole country would do that, we'd have a lot more for other different things. So anyway, think about that, to be giving this time of the year, make your New Year's resolution. Take just a little bit less. I know by some miracle, if I get elected as mayor in 2025, I don't want no more than enlisted man or woman gets. But you all have a blessed holiday, or Hanukkah, whatever it may be. Either praise Jesus or Nami Odorenge Kriyo, whatever it may be. God bless you all.
Thank you, Mr. Caratola. Anyone else in the center? Mr. Hackett?
I have comments on the budget. Should that take place at another time?
We'll do that during the second, courtesy of the floor, as we're voting on that this evening, Mr. Hackett. Is there anyone else in the center who would make comments on anything not being voted on this evening? I turn to the right. That concludes our first public comment. So now we will move to our second public comment for anything being voted on. We had a few people previously signed up, starting with Mr. Fallweiler. And again, I'll remind everyone of the 5-minute time limit.
Good evening, Jim Fallweiler, 2222 Main Street. I had to double up since I was on vacation during the last meeting. My comments tonight will focus on this current budget process and voting on tonight's budget, primarily item 8K, the 2024 tax increase, and a perspective of looking more toward the future given many dynamics that I will address. Right now, many budgetary and program aspects should focus on a multi-year projection of what will happen after the federal COVID funding runs out. The mayor will certainly want to continue every climate, homelessness, affordable housing, and homeless shelter program while providing more money for more studies and programs. It is really difficult to tactically analyze most of the 24 budget as a standalone since it is so skewed from the significant federal funds embedded in it. So the real questions are what current expenditures will be cut in the out years, or to continuous ongoing agenda with his programs and plans, the mayor, however, will have to go for significant tax increases, at least from what I foresee in the 2026 budget. Aside from the over 25% of the current budget coming from the federal monies, are we building in large 2024 slush funds with the most significant increases in budget lines for community and economic development and the police budgets while under a period of significant police and fire understaffing? Aside from the thought that the city appears to never truly look, at least publicly, at spending cuts, does the city decrease following year departmental budgets when there are unspent monies at the end of the year? City Council should toughen the process of transferring current account excess funds to or from other programs, like the $10,000 that was shifted from community and economic development to the mayoral staff for payroll support. These would appear to be regularly utilized processes of transfers, circumvents this normal budget process and avoids more in-depth budget analysis. How about saving unspent monies for budgeting into future years in order to lower potential tax increases? If one budget line is not spent, it should not be free to spend
wherever somebody with an idea wants. Is the city preempting significant future tax increases with this year's more reasonable increase that will be forgotten by next year's cycle? As the one-time federal funds are depleted, will we continue to spend supporting all these relatively new, progressive, expansive programs? What will the mayor want to continue after the 2024 budget, after we spend the $4.5 million CARES Act money and $11.6 ARP funding, and how will he continue again to fund his programs moving forward? Will we return to a reasonable budget pattern after the federal monies are depleted? So to the prime topic at hand, the 2.6% budget increase. If the city's finances are in the best shape in a very long, long time, why is there a 2.6% tax increase being voted on in the 2024 budget? There should be no requirement for a tax increase, or is it just a pad budget so we have slush funds to spend as we see fit next year? With most of the remaining federal COVID monies budget being the budget or allocated this year, there just should be no tax increases. So I recommend no votes, at least on the tax increase line. Thank you very much.
Mr. Falwell. Our next speaker, Kim Schaefer. Is Kim still here? All right, we're going to move on to, I believe it's Cheryl Petrillo. Apologies if I mispronounced that.
Thank you. Hello, Council. Thank you for this opportunity to speak. I'm here to speak about the Humane Pet Store ordinance that is up for vote tonight. Selling puppies and kittens and rabbits in pet stores raises serious animal welfare and consumer protection issues by prohibiting pet stores from selling commercially raised dogs, cats, and rabbits. Prohibiting that, but allowing them to partner with shelters and rescues to host adoption events and to sell products and services, lawmakers can protect consumers and promote a humane business model. There's over 400 localities across 31 states in the country, and I'm proud to say that in the Lehigh Valley, Allentown, Easton, and Forks Township have already enacted this humane pet store ordinance. So I thank you for your consideration tonight and considering this, and I hope that the vote will be a positive one. Just a few notes here about why a humane pet store ordinance would be important. You don't have a pet store here in the city of Bethlehem, which is, so it won't impact any already existing business, but should one come in, it'll set the tone of what is going to be acceptable there, that they would not be allowed to sell puppies, cats, and rabbits that come from commercial breeders. So a humane pet store ordinance will reduce the demand for puppy mill puppies. Pet stores they fill their cages with everyday puppies from varying breeds. They come from puppy mills that are out in the Midwest. There's also puppy mills also in Pennsylvania. Responsible breeders would never actually sell their puppies to a pet store because they like to meet the family. They want the people who are adopting, and they would not just put them in that situation inside of a pet store. A humane pet store ordinance will protect puppies from the puppy mill pet store pipeline. Puppy mills are just notoriously known as really awful places with overcrowding, filthy conditions, lack of basic veterinarian care at these commercial breeding facilities. And neither does the USDA nor any state agency adequately protect these breeding dogs. A humane pet store ordinance will protect consumers from a wide range of problems. Anything from pet stores charging a premium price for puppies. You can go to pet stores in the Lehigh Valley and you can get an 8-week-old puppy for $3,000 or $4,000. There's also predatory financing involved with this. Most people who walk into the pet store, they can't afford a $3,000 or $4,000 dog, but it's very enticing when they're handed a same-day loan application and people can walk out with a puppy and a heck of a lot of debt that they're not aware of. A humane pet store ordinance supports responsible pet businesses and pet acquisition. So residents, what this is encouraging is that residents will be able to obtain a pet of their choice by adopting from a local shelter or rescue or seeking out a responsible breeder who will sell directly to the public. So I do want to thank you once again for this consideration, and thank you, Grace, for introducing this legislation. This is something that I take very personally. I've been working very hard on this throughout the Lehigh Valley, and my job is far from done in helping protect the animals in our community and also our consumers. Thank you very much, and Merry Christmas to everybody.
Thank you. So that exhausts our list for the second public comment. I'll go around the room. Was there anyone to the left who wanted to make comment on anything that we're voting on this evening? Seeing none, I turn to the center. Mr. Hackett?
Hello, everyone. My name is Bud Hackett. I live at 201 East McCabe Road in Bethel. Wanted to make some comments on the proposed 24 budget. The budget represents a very large increase in city expenditures. I looked at the budget. I'm not the best at that, but I tried to compare the 2022 budget numbers to the proposed 24 numbers, and saw a 31% increase since 22. That's an additional $26 million that is proposed. As stated before, the mayor said that the tax increase would be only 2.6%. And yes, we understand that the budget is fixed, or not to say, there are many elements in the budget that are fixed and not discretionary. However, a very large share of the budget is at the discretion of the mayor, and it reflects the mayor or any mayor's priorities. It appears as though the mayor's budget and priorities are not well balanced in terms of how and where in the city the money is being spent. The mayor's budget has an additional, with a gift of $34 million from the feds. It should be pretty easy to balance a budget without a tax increase. This would be a great time for the mayor and council to say we don't need to raise taxes this year. It would also be great political cover, I think. There are positive elements in the proposed budget that I noticed. The debt reduction continues. Support for public safety appears to be strong. The street paving investment appears to be strong. But the budget document is extremely difficult to read and understand. Maybe I'm not so smart. That probably is the case. But the city should consider more modern ways to prepare a budget that is more transparent for residents to understand. One of the things that I was looking for in the budget was a clear statement of how much money is being spent on the many consultants providing reports to support the mayor's agenda. I could not find clear answers to that question. How much money is being spent on such studies as, well, we know we've had in this room the homeless study, the affordable housing study, north side studies, south side studies, climate action studies, walking bridge studies, community engagement studies, public relations for the mayor's office, DEI initiative activities, and who knows how many other studies are underway or will be underway, and how much money are we spending. It is not clear from reading the budget document what those costs are. From what I can see in the budget, the discretionary spending is very unbalanced. That is to say, resources and money are being spent on special interest issues and not being spent to support or assist most residents in neighborhoods. We were all impacted by COVID and the lockdowns. The city got its $34 million to address those impacts. Only a small share of groups or neighborhoods seem to be benefiting from the $34 million. Voters in the South Side, in the Moravian University area, in the Rose Garden area seem to get a lot. Residents and friends of mine in other parts of the city, Clearview, Westgate, Eaton Avenue, Stellfield area, East Hills, Spring Garden, not so much in terms of the benefits that accrue that way. I was challenged by some and did look at the budget on a line-by-line basis. I really need to get a life, but I did do that. I looked at the community and economic development goals and objectives and found many to be very vague, although there's a lot of money being spent in that department. I looked at things like the health department, which I think it did a great job during COVID, and why there is now $380,000 expenditure for neighborhood interveners. I don't know what that is. Even the recycling contract with Republic of $1.8 million. I'm not sure what the purpose of that is, given that the recycling market is so weak these days. I'm going to skip over some things and come to my four-second conclusion. I understand where the money is being spent. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I think there's no good reason to raise taxes in Bethlehem right now. This is a great time for City Council and the Mayor to stand up and vote no on new taxes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hack. Is there anyone else in the center who wanted to make comment on anything we're voting on this evening? Turn to the right. That concludes our public comment. Thank you, everyone. Continuing to old business, any old business from members of council? Communication 6A.
November 30th, 2023, memorandum and attached resolution from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development. Ms. Collins recommends a contract with Joseph Phillips of Bethlehem to serve as a historic officer for the Historic Architectural Review Board for $24,000. The term would run from January 1st through December 31st of 2024, with options to renew in 2025 and 2026.
Resolution 10A is on the agenda this evening. Communication 6B.
A November 30th, 2023 memorandum and attached resolution from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development. Ms. Collins recommends a contract with Jeffrey Long of Bethlehem to serve as a historic officer for the Historic Conservation Commission for $24,000. The term would run from January 1st through December 31st of 2024, with options to renew in 2025 and 2026.
And Resolution 10B is on the agenda. Communication 6C.
A December 7th, 2023 memorandum with an attached resolution from DCED business manager Tiffany Wismer. Ms. Wismer recommends a contract with Centec Info Management Solutions of Willow Grove to perform phases 3 through 5 of digitizing records in the Department of Community and Economic Development. The amount of the contract is $266,718.50. There are no renewals.
And Resolution 10C is on the agenda tonight. Communication 6D.
A December 15th, 2023 memorandum from Council Solicitor Brian Pinella announcing his resignation from the city position as of December 31st, 2023, unless Council were to fill the post sooner. In that event, Solicitor Pinella's resignation would be effective immediately. Attorney Pinella cites his election as a Northampton County Court judge as the reason for his resignation and says it was a highlight of his legal career to represent Bethlehem City Council.
No action will be taken on Mr. Pinella's memos for information only. Resolution 6E.
The December 14th, 2023 memorandum with an attached resolution from Police Chief Michelle Cott, seeking to retire K-9 Rico from active duty for medical reasons, explained in a letter from UMass Animal Hospital. Rico was purchased in 2016 through donated funds. The chief seeks permission to retire Rico and transfer him to his handler, Matthew Stidell, in accordance with the third class city code.
And Resolution 10D is on the agenda this evening. Communication 6F.
December 14th, 2023 memorandum with an attached resolution from Robert Vidoni, Housing and Community Development Administrator, recommending a contract with Michael Baker International Incorporated of Long Beach, California. Contractor would provide support in connection with HUD compliance, monitoring, and audits. The city is currently under a one-year contract with Michael Baker International. This would represent the renewal of the first of 2 1-year renewal options. The cost of the contract is $190,832. Of this figure, $96,832 is related to potential costs associated with community project funding HUD environmental reviews. A one-year city renewal option remains.
And resolution 10 is on the agenda. Moving on to reports, I have nothing to report tonight. I'll hold my comments for new business as it relates to our reorganization and council members that are rolling off. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I have a couple comments, but Ms. Santora is here to make a comment before I provide anything else.
Hi, friends. Good evening. Tonight's a bittersweet night because I know the new year brings forth new council members, but we are also really grateful to the service of Dr. Van Wert and Dr. Enix over the past few years. So the mayor and I just prepared some brief comments. Dr. Enix, while so much has happened the past 2 years, I think everyone in the administration can remember vividly the night you were appointed by your fellow council members. Out of 11 other candidates, some actually decided to step back once they saw that your name was brought into consideration. And so I bring up that night tonight because I think that alone shows that you brought an energy, an intellect, a lived experience, a history of servanthood and advocacy from not only your father, who was a union leader with the steel mill and the leader of the Black Elks, but through your own lived experience, growing up on the South Side on Pawnee Street, your later work as an educator and a historian, and now through your time on City Council as someone who has continually sought to center the voices of people on the South Side, people that have been historically marginalized, and people of color in your votes on council. And as the first Black City Council member, your time on City Council, your leadership, is a dream come true, both for the people that live and work in the city now, but also for all those that hoped that the day would come to see themselves represented in Bethlehem city government. The administration feels that the city is better for your presence, for your informed votes, for all the thoughtful conversations each department has had with you over the past 2 years, and you have, in the best way, challenged and critiqued city processes in ways that are rooted in significant and meaningful historical context, while also making recommendations that deeply impact our future. Oftentimes, the enormity of the systemic issues on a hyper-local and a national and even a global scale feel daunting. And we're all trying to find the power and agency we have in the positions that we are privileged to be in to make the changes that can be felt every day, which is what you were tasked to do on City Council. And also, it is true that we need to stop and celebrate those that have devoted their time selflessly and without ego and with deep empathy and communal care. So I believe when you first got appointed, you said that you had to stop writing history for a while and make it. And as Bethlehem's first Black City Council member, but not the last, we are so grateful that you did make history. And so on behalf of the administration, we hope that someone like you, who celebrates the work and legacy of so many others, gets to celebrate her own achievements. Thank you so much for your service.
Thank you, Ms. Santora, and while it's hard to follow that with an eloquence, I did want to make a couple comments about Dr. Van Wert, who I also want to express our deepest admiration and thank you for your service as well. And I would say that, you know, I will always personally cherish the fact that we had so many conversations about policies, about what other cities are doing, how to do this in a better way. And, you know, it's never been about, you know, do you agree with someone, but where do you come from in that conversation? And our city is better because of your service. You have brought a level of sophistication to city policy that is now the norm, that I don't think once was the norm. I think local government oftentimes can devolve into personalities and
grievances and how do I get what I need to get for myself. And that was never the way that you looked at this job. It was how do we design urban policy that builds a Bethlehem, not just for us now, but for decades into the future. And I cannot thank you enough for raising that discourse, for being a voice for not just what we did, or and I would say, and this is my words, not yours, is that you always respected our history, but we weren't necessarily wed to it. And it was always that the conversations came down to what the policy was and what the merits were. And that's really the way that democracy should work. It shouldn't be people agreeing with each other because they like each other or they know each other or they live next to each other. If someone was somebody's English teacher, it's like, what is the best policy? And you always brought that view to it, and you were never afraid to think outside of the box. You were never afraid to challenge people in the best way possible, either publicly or privately. And you were always, and I guess I would say you were always up for the conversation about what it would, what do we need as a community going forward, and to think about it from a systemic point of view. At a time when I think a lot of people across America, and even some people in our city, when they see something happen, it's how does this affect me? Rather than what do we need to do for groups of people that are underrepresented, that are marginalized, or how do we do urban policy better? And just because we have so many great things about Bethlehem's history doesn't mean that there's not room for improvement. And I would just finish by saying it is, as Ms. Santora said, it's a bittersweet day to say goodbye to you and Dr. Enix. But I can firmly say that you have left the city and your public service a better place than when you came. And I will always personally cherish the conversations we had and the things that we worked on together. And a lot of the things that we are exhibiting or we are seeing the benefits from now, whether or not it's $10 million for Broad Street or climate action plans or all these different investments, came back from the idea that there was a better way to do this, and we always needed to be thinking about tomorrow in a way that we weren't doing that. So on behalf of the administration, we would like to say thank you as well, Dr. Van Wert, for your service. And before I move on to my report, we will also congratulate you, Mr. Pinella, even though it's a shorter level of service, but the people of Northampton County are getting a great judge, and we certainly have appreciated everything that you've done for the city for the past 2 years. I didn't hear you saying it was the highlight of your career to serve Bethlehem City Council before you were elected, but we will excuse that. But
I'm sorry,
you're right. Correct. The judge corrects me. But congratulations to you. And I know once you become a judge, it restricts a lot of the conversations you're able to have with people about, politics and everything else. But I want to say thank you for your service as well. And, it's been a wonderful 2 years of cooperation as well. So thank you and congratulations, Ms. Rupinella. We will have a couple comments on the budget at the appropriate time, Mr. Cologne, but just a couple things. First of all, I do want to recognize the city staff, the police department. I know I saw Councilwoman Kwiatek and Councilwoman Cramsey Smith there. I'm not sure if any other council members were there at the menorah lighting last week on Monday. It was a great night, and I know a lot of people came up and thanked the city for helping to put us on, but it was a great night for us. We, as I think everybody probably saw, was last week we had a huge announcement about West Broad Street, which is really just transformative. And once again, we had an event here where we thanked a lot of the city employees and the community organizations. I had a phone call today with Senator Fetterman's staff, who really wanted to talk to us about how we got it and what did we do right as a community. And it was, as I said at the event, and as I've said since then, that wasn't something that we just worked on over the past year and a half since the infrastructure bill was planned. We did Vision Zero plan in 2016. We participated in the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission's Roll Walk Plan in 2020. We did the Broad Street Activation Plan that allowed us the opportunity to get $10 million when almost no other city throughout America was able to do it. Why? Because we planned well. and we were able to utilize the abilities to be able to do this. And that was the first thing I said. And when I talked to staff members from Senator Casey or Senator Fetterman's office, they talked about how Bethlehem is so much better at being able to, we talk about shovel-ready economic development projects, but a lot of times these type of grant funds that other people don't get that they're applying for or can't even apply for because they don't have the necessary work that we've been doing over years and years that go back before this administration. But it goes back to that idea that I talked about with, Dr. Van Wert. It's just the idea about, we're always planning for tomorrow for when that opportunity comes. And we got $10 million that in 24 and 25, we're going to be able to transform West Broad Street, and not just a little bit of it, from First Avenue to Pennsylvania Avenue, which is a mile and a half. And we combine that with our East Broad money that we got from the state, that's going to go from Center Street down to Elm Street, and that whole corridor that runs almost entirely across the width of the city of Bethlehem is going to be transformed. Seven different schools in Bethlehem Area School District have students that cross Broad Street to walk to school. And that is something that is going to be for decades, something that is going to make our community safer, and it's going to transform that corridor. And as I've been saying, it's going to make that a street for people rather than for cars. And while we obviously did a lot of work, it was a collective community effort over the years that had led to that point that allowed us the opportunity to do that. So I just want to thank everybody in City Council and all those community groups that obviously had a big part of that. Also, you might have seen yesterday that we made the announcement about the joint efforts between the Celtic Cultural Alliance and the City of Bethlehem to put on the St. Patrick's Day Parade of Shamrocks going forward. That's a big deal for our downtown. It's a big deal for our community. And once again, we appreciate the support that City Council has shown for that effort. We are organizing that. We are putting together committees. We are helping get volunteers. So March 16th, 1 p.m. So if anybody wants to help out. And then finally, last thing I would say is on Friday, we graduated five police officers from the police academy. So they started, I believe, on Monday, correct, Chief Kahn? And we're sending four more recruits starting on January 2nd, I believe. So that's big news. That's big news for us as well. And I believe that is the end of my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. Our Public Safety Committee report, Councilwoman Leone.
The Public Safety Committee met on Tuesday, December 19, 2023, in Town Hall. The committee reviewed proposed amendments to Article 1159, the city's animal ordinance that would prohibit the sale of pets from puppy mills and pet stores within the city. The committee voted unanimously to send the ordinance to full council. This ordinance has been placed, will be placed on tonight's City Council agenda for a first reading. Rachel Leone, Councilwoman, Public Safety Committee.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Moving on to our ordinances for final passage, the clerk will read Bill 41, 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the general fund budget for 2024. Bill 41, 2023 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leone.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 42, 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the water fund budget for 2024. Bill 42, 2023 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leone.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 43, 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the sewer fund budget for 2024. Bill 43, 2023 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leone.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 44, 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the Golf Course Enterprise Fund budget for 2024. Bill 44, 2023 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leone.
Any discussion on the golf course? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 45, 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the Liquid Fuels Fund budget for 2024. Bill 45, 2023 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leone.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passed 7-0. Bill 46, 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the capital budget for non-utilities for 2024. Bill 46, 2023 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leone.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 47, 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the capital budget for water utilities for 2024. Bill 47, 2023 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leone.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 48, 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the capital budget for sewer utilities for 2024. Bill 48, 2023 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leone.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 49, 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the CDBG budget for 2024. Bill 49, 2023 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leone.
Any discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 50, 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the Stormwater Fund budget for 2024. Bill 50, 2023 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leone.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 51, 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the tax rate for all city purposes for 2024. Bill 51, 2023 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leone.
Discussion? Ms. Leone?
So I had a couple of questions for Mr. Evans. I know we had spoken about this. It seemed like this is the best place to ask it. And it's not specifically about the budget. I think we've beaten it to death with 13 hours of conversation. But it was more about like the budgeting process in general. I was just curious as to why like it's so late in the year. Is there anything that's like making it be that way? Because I know that we work with the library and other municipalities. So what are the benefits to having it be so late in the year? Are there any benefits to moving it up? Are there unintended consequences to having the budget season be longer than it currently is? Just kind of what are your thoughts on that? I know we kind of, I felt like we were off to a late start, but like you got us the budget book and the pages early, so I really appreciate that, but it just got me thinking about like the timeline of our budget and why it is the way it is.
The release of the budget has always been set for many years as the Friday after Election Day is the point that we has been targeted for decades by the City of Bethlehem, and from there we looked back into it, starting really, we're talking about the budget It's a year-round process internally. We continue to track and monitor monthly most accounts, and quarterly we have roll-ups and meetings, and then of course by September, even August, we begin to really turn to the departments to start to deliver their beginnings ideas. The later we wait in any year makes it more accurate to know what the numbers are for the year we're in now. Like when we're in 2023, it's August, there's still 4 or 5 months left of this year itself. So we're looking at a lot at last full year was 2022, trying to budget for 2024, which is 2 year difference. So we do want to take a longest look as we can, especially with regard to revenues, so that we're accurate at by September of 2023. The budget process itself is complex. There are a number of departments that need to come together. There are interfund transfers. There are a number of funds itself. There are a number of bureaus within each fund. When you talk about the difference, department, something like Public Works has a number of bureaus. Each has their own budget. They need to roll up to Mr. Alcohol, and Mr. Alcohol needs to be able to meet with each of his department heads, circle back a couple times, and cut where we can cut till we make sure it's as efficient as possible. And that goes on each department. That will roll up then to the administration level, where we meet with the department heads, and that process will roll through back and forth. In order to begin to bring a comprehensive budget together in October and begin to share some of the early findings with the mayor so we can begin to deliberate on the decisions that we have to make and offerings and options that we have in front of us. And that takes a couple weeks too, because when you start moving parts, it's all big connected. When things starts to move, you start to make cuts somewhere else, it's going to impact others. So there are lots of communication across the entire city, and it just takes time.
And I would add, Mr. Sperkling Ford had reminded me that it's actually third class city code as well that says that our budget needs to be presented at voted on at the last meeting in November. Is that correct, Mr. Sperkling?
Yeah, it has to be presented at the last meeting in November, and then you must advertise for the final vote, having to be at least 20 days after that.
And that's
so
by
third class.
And if I may jump on that, Mr. Spurk, the numbers that he was just throwing out there are classified by the Fair Class City Code as a minimum. Like, that's the minimum they have to absolutely reach. Mm-hmm. That 20 days that they're talking about is required by the Fair Class City Code.
Yeah. And just a couple things to add to that is, you know, obviously we talk about, and during the budget presentation, for example, there's a couple of like touch points throughout the year. So for example, like we know in 2025, obviously, what our labor contracts are. So we know what the expenditures are going to be for our police, our fire, which are both going up 3% in 2025. So those things are baked into the budget, and we try to talk about them, obviously, as much as we can. And one of the things I talked about during the budget presentation as well was that whenever we find out what our pension number is for 2025 in the fall is a big thing as far as the budget is concerned. So we both try to update council as much as we can. I would agree with Mr. Evans on the fact that like the earlier you do it, just the less reasonable you get as the numbers, as far as what's gonna come in, as far as earning income tax and things like that. But it's really a 365 day a year process. But we are also open to even more of those check-ins as far as like where we are with our tax, as far as tax collections and things like that are concerned. But you know, it is most of it, we know what the costs are going to be in January. It's just an idea about whether or not those revenues are coming in throughout the year to be able to take a look at what we're able to do. And I know when you had stopped by to talk to Mr. Evans as well, I was not around, but I think one of the questions you had asked too, I'm not sure if this is one of the questions you're about to ask, about our property tax versus earned income tax capabilities.
Yeah, that was kind of where I was, like, I'm understanding the need for it, obviously. Apparently, this is set up by our third class city code. I must have skipped that when I was reading through it. And for accuracy. And then I was curious as to, you read things like, oh, this city hasn't raised their taxes in, like, 16 years.
Yeah.
And
Property taxes. They haven't raised property
taxes. And I know I've been on council for 2 years. I've kind of been worried more about potholes and collecting leaves over at Cherokee. So sometimes I'm not completely familiar with the difference in why certain cities don't raise their taxes and why we raise our taxes when they're not raising their taxes if we are in a better financial situation and what that means going forward for us.
Yeah, and if you just look at our two neighbors, to the east and the west, I mean,
Easton, for example, their property taxes, I believe, are 24.95 mils. And by third class city code, I believe they're not allowed to go above 25 mils. So part of the reason they haven't raised their property tax in the last 16 years is because they're also not allowed to. And our property taxes remain, our rate is much lower. I believe that the millage rate here is 19.6, is that correct? So they're 24.9 or 24.95 versus our 19.6. We are still substantially lower as far as the rate is concerned. But the big difference, and this goes on in Allentown as well, and if any of you work in Allentown or Easton, you know this, is that they've got a different ability to be able to raise their earned income tax that we don't have. And one of the things that happens when your pension fund is underfunded or hasn't performed or you're under a certain amount is that the state gives you that ability to be able to raise your earned income tax. And the rate of increase in your earned income tax is much bigger than what we're going to get from property taxes and adding on. So for example, our 1%, so we pull in, I believe we have budgeted, I think, about $11 million in earned income tax.
10.7
in earned income tax. We bring in over $30 million a year in property taxes. So our property tax, because of how much property is worth in Bethlehem compared to Allentown or Easton, it's almost 3-to-1 as far as property tax to earned income tax. Easton and Allentown both, it's either about 50-50, or you actually bring in more earned income tax than property tax. And that's because they rely on commuters. So like when I worked at the Allentown School District, I was paying my 1% to the city of Bethlehem that was coming back. But my above 1%, and I forget if I was paying 0.7 or 0.8 or 0.9, was going to the Allentown City School District and the city of Allentown. So the city of Easton, for example, is able to collect, I think their earned income tax, if you work in Easton, I think is 1.95. So it's almost twice as much. I might be wrong about that. Mr. Pinella probably knows. He's about to work there. Is that, you know, the ability there to be able to take that revenue. So our property taxes, without raising them, the only way they're going to go up every year is if we're adding properties onto the tax rolls. Since we haven't done a property tax assessment in 30 years in Northampton, if they did a property tax reassessment and you have some properties worth more, some worth less, it might be a situation where you wouldn't necessarily need to do a property tax increase. But we don't have the tools that other cities have because we're in a better financial position. So without having our pension fund go under 70%, we're not allowed to be able to raise those taxes. And say in Easton, you know, your salary, as it increases, just the percentage of what 1.95 on your salary increase is going to be more than what our growth in property taxes is going to be.
And if I may, just very quickly, section, I don't like saying something without backing it up quickly. Section 112A05, subsection 10, provides for preparing and submitting the annual city budget for review and approval by council, period. The recommended budget and an enabling ordinance shall be submitted to council for its review not later than the last stated meeting in November of each year, period. The city administrator may include an explanatory comment or statement of the recommended budget, period. The recommended budget shall be in the form of as required by law for city budgets and shall contain information explaining the various items, expenditures, and revenue as may be required by council. That's why during a period for public comment, our city budget comes in quite the hefty book. And it can seem complicated when you're not knowing what you're looking at, but as these council members know, it's a detailed, itemized list that you're looking at. So that was just, I don't like throwing out times tables without giving you some sort of citation.
And just one more thing on that, Councilman Leon, is if you think about the fact that we're bringing in $10.7 million on 1%, if we even went to 1.1%, that's an additional $1 million. If we went to 1.4%, that's an additional $4 million. If we had a commuter tax like other cities do, and we had it like 1.7, 1.8, 1.9, you're looking at bringing in $10 to $15 million a year. And if we had those capabilities, we would never be touching property taxes either, because that you wouldn't need to. But we don't have that capacity. And obviously every year, as we've said, we talk about sustainable expenses going up. We know that the police are getting 3% next year. And we know that the fire is getting 4% next year. So the ability, we just don't have as many financial tools as other people do.
Thank you, and I really appreciate Mr. Evans all the time you took to walk me through this over the past couple weeks. Much appreciated.
Absolutely.
Any other questions or comments from members of council? Councilwoman Kwiatek.
Thank you. I wanted to point out, because there can be some misunderstanding about these things, but from what we learned through this process, in terms of the 2.6% increase in the property taxes, is that indeed when there were savings from last year or unexpended funds, they were actually moved into specific places and, for instance, into the escrow so that it could be used or perhaps investment income that was higher than expected. These kinds of, I don't want to call them windfalls, but situations where there was money that was not going to be spent in 2023, there was a specific place for these things and a specific purpose put to them in the budget. So that stuff was there to be seen. But also, understanding that a vast amount of the increase in our budget is things like, 3% for our police, 4% for our firefighters. And there's time after time when people come here, they always say there's nothing more important than public safety. There's nothing more important than making sure that our firefighters and our police officers are compensated appropriately. We have, collective bargaining agreements with their unions to ensure that. And so these are expenses that we know are going to go up. The administration has been clear to us that that our pension expenses are going to also go up in the coming, not this year, but next year. We're going to have to pay more towards our pensions to make up for some, lack of performance in the market. This year we are adding four paramedics, which again, we've seen the justification for that. We've seen the need for that. In terms of response time, in terms of quality of care, and also the replacing of our police officers' body cams, dash cams, upgrading of the radios, which are so crucial to communication between all the different emergency services. So these are things that responsibly have to be paid for on an ongoing basis with sustainable revenues, as we say. And I think that we're doing the responsible thing here. I know that people don't like their taxes increased. I live in the city. I'm going to be paying more taxes as well. I'm not, rich. I'm going to be paying more property taxes and more sewer taxes. So I just wanted to point those things out so that when you hear some things sometimes that people say, that they're just not accurate. This need to increase our sustainable revenues is because there's a lot of forecasting out into the future that suggests that we know that these expenses are going to go up, and we can't continue to just expect something to happen to plug a hole when we're looking at increasing again the salaries for our public safety professionals in particular, and making sure they have the equipment they need to do their job. So that was all I think I really wanted to say about this.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Any other questions or comments from members of council?
Mr. Glumkes.
Mr. Reynolds, I'll give you the floor.
Yeah, just a couple quick comments. One is, in relation to this idea, I think sometimes, I don't think there's anything I've necessarily talked more about in the past 2 years than how we're going to spend our ARPA dollars. And as far as like where those dollars necessarily are going, it is also like it's not confusing. It's like a 15-second answer as far as where those dollars are going. But it's also, as we said, something that we have been very, very open about and talked a lot about. And I would disagree with the idea that somehow these dollars aren't about long-term financial stability. And because the biggest thing out of those $34 million is $18 million of those dollars are going to pay for capital expenditures. And the way that we're able to pay off the debt aggressively is the fact that we spent $9 million on capital expenditures in 22 and 23, which avoided a capital borrowing, which if you looked, and I think the number I had previously used with that $18 million borrowing plus normal interest rates was that the city and the obligations would be like $25 million. But with the current interest rates, if we had to borrow right now, we would even be locking into paying more than that. So the ability for us to spend that $18 million on capital expenditures and avoid capital borrowings for years is what allows us to pay off that debt at a rate no other city can and put us on that financial stability
that is truly rare for a city. And when we say capital expenditures, and I talked about this a lot during this year's budget presentation and last year's budget presentation, which I believe are both still available on our website, is that that capital expenditures is police cars, it's fire engines, it is paying for things, roads, paying for things that people, that everybody in the city of Bethlehem needs access to. You take that $18 million, we also have $8 million that we use for lost revenue over a four-year period from 2022 through 25. That's been part of the plan from the beginning. So $26 million there is as across the city as you possibly could be, including the idea of lessening what those obligations are going forward. And then obviously we've been very, very, very transparent, as has City Council, about the need to invest over the next four, five, 6 years in our housing crisis, being able to invest in our community recovery fund, and being able to invest in homelessness. And as we've said, the spirit of the American Rescue Plan was how do you necessarily invest in your community now, but also invest over the long term. So our ability to put ourselves on financial footing over the long term is going to allow us to also build a city that we can necessarily be proud of. And I would just finish by saying I want to thank everybody in City Council. We were talking however many budget hours there were in the budget hearings, 10, 11, 12 hours, whatever they were. And I know many people at City Council had the opportunity to sit down with department heads and came in and went through the budget line by line and talked about where these different things came from. And, you know, we said it at the beginning of the process, and we will continue to say, as other cities get in trouble when they don't differentiate between the words reoccurring and one time or sustainable and one time. And it is the most important thing that we can do without throwing any other municipalities under the bus. You know, Councilman Kwiatek is right. You can absolutely find different ways to fund something in a one-time deal that is a sustainable expense, but then it catches up with you. And it catches up with you with large tax increases. It catches up with you with very, very difficult decisions, with selling off assets that we don't do because we understand the difference between that idea of reoccurring and one time. And you don't want to spend one-time revenues on sustainable expenses. It's just, it's the path to financial ruin for a city, and we're avoiding it. And, you know, that 2.6 this year is going to pay for paramedics, and it's going to pay for body cameras within the police department. And those are sustainable expenses we have going forward. Thank you, Mr. Cohen.
Yeah, Mr. Reynolds, I would just say it's from just the foundational fundamentals of money management, it would be irresponsible if I take my birthday card money and use it to pay my mortgage, knowing that mortgage bill is going to come again next month. And it's the same concept when we talk about how do we pay what we know are just our operating expenses. And as it relates to the budget, I've said this before, I'll try not to repeat some of the points I made previously, but the first council meeting I ever walked in on, probably about 10 years ago, was a budget hearing. And I've shared, I think it was water and sewer, and I didn't really have a strong understanding of what was being discussed because I didn't know. It was the first, I walked in off the street. I used to live down the street. I decided I have nothing better to do on that night, and so I walked over. And then I took time to reach out to some of the council members who were there at the time, some of them still in this room. And then on the city website, I always remind everyone, all the taxes are broken down and what they are, the mercantile, because it's not only property taxes. The earned income tax, the mercantile tax, the property tax, all the different ways we collect money are there. And it's, you know, we're punished, to piggyback off Councilwoman Leone's questions and Mayor Reynolds' comments, that because we manage our money responsibly, that we're not able to do that. I mean, during the budget presentation, I believe we saw it this year and maybe last year, it doesn't name the cities, but it talks about what the EIT is, the earned income tax, at the other 10 most populous cities in the Commonwealth, and I believe we're the only one at 1%. Mayor Reynolds and Mr. Evans could back me up on that.
Correct.
And that is because of how we've managed our money over the years. So while we are raising taxes 2.6%, and none of us are, none of using us up here on council or anyone in the room, immune to that, we've been fortunate that we have not been able, we've been fortunate to not have to raise taxes for the previous two budget cycles, and now we're raising taxes 2.6%, so a modest amount. We will see those long-term savings, which will help us balance budgets moving forward because we paid down debt, my time on council, predating my time on council, for capital expenses, buying the new cars, buying the new you know, fixing buildings and infrastructure. We used to borrow about $5 million every other year, Mr. Evans, correct?
And we haven't
had to do that for a couple years, which allowed us to pay down that debt, so that we're going to see in the long term some of those savings, and really just making sure we're using our reoccurring revenues, the taxes that keep coming in, to pay for those reoccurring expenses, and not using these one-time expenses to plug budget holes, because we talk about these horror stories of local municipalities that have to raise their property taxes 50 to 100% and things like that. So at the end of the day, we're responsible for the budget we present and vote on. We're accountable to the people that vote us in come election time. But I'll say that I will be, again, without hesitation, supporting this, which I think is a sensical solution to just balancing our budget with the 2.6 increase to the millage rate. So, any other questions or comments from members of council?
I would like to say that we, as a city, have not raised taxes in a long, long time, and that we should be proud of the fact that our debt service, we paid over $100 million in debt service by the year 2028, with probably a balance of about $56 million. That is a huge story in and of itself. And regarding the paramedics, we haven't hired new paramedics since 2007. And our paramedics are fully certified paramedics. And, you know, we do have mutual agreements with other municipalities. But when there's overtime, it takes longer to respond to our needs. So I think it's adamant that we hire more paramedics.
Thank you, Dr. Yes. Councilwoman Ramsey-Smith?
I just have a question. What was the last time that we did raise taxes? Because I thought it was in 2021. Is that correct?
For
the year budget 2021, and it was a 5%
increase. Budget 2021, but not budget 2020.
So it was 1 year, right. So 2021 is a 5% increase. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments from members of council before we call the roll? Mr. Miller?
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey-Smith?
Nay.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-1. We'll read Bill 52-2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending Article 927 of the City of Bethlehem Codified Ordinances titled Sewer Rental. Bill 52-2023 is sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Moving on to new ordinances, the clerk will read Bill 53-2023.
Of the Council of the City of Bethlehem, Lehigh, and Northampton Counties, Pennsylvania, an ordinance prohibiting the sale of dogs and amending Article 1159 of the Bethlehem Codified Ordinances. Bill 53-2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion?
I wanted to thank Councilwoman Crampton-Smith for bringing this to public safety and then for bringing it to council. This is a very good thing that is just a no-brainer to me. It's a really good ordinance that you've updated. Thank you.
Any other discussion from members of council? Councilwoman Crampton-Smith?
For those that weren't at the committee meeting, I'll just try to highlight the reason that I brought this ordinance to the table. It's basically, according to the Humane Society of the United States, we have estimated 10,000 puppy mills producing more than 2.4 million puppies a year, and most pet shop dogs and cats come from these puppy mills. And basically, while we don't have any pet stores in the city now that are selling pets, meaning dogs, cats, rabbits, from puppy mills, this ordinance is to prevent that from happening. and people may say that are against this ordinance, well, it can really kill the economy of the pet stores, but according to, for example, Morgan Stanley, the pet industry is poised to nearly triple to $275 billion by 2030, thanks to a surge in new owners, favorable demographics, and increased per pet spending. And that's for pet food and pet products and services, not for selling animals from puppy mills. PetSmart and Petco, for example, the two largest chains, they never sell dogs or cats. Instead, they offer a wider range of products and services, and they partner with thousands of animal welfare organizations across the nation to showcase adoptable pets. I'd like to also note that I conferred with our police chief who reviewed this, and she said that her and her department are in total support of the ordinance. I feel it's in the best interest to adopt reasonable regulations to help prevent inhumane breeding conditions, promote community awareness of animal welfare, and foster a more humane environment in the city. And I hope that my fellow council folks will support me in joining cities such as Philly, Pittsburgh, Easton, Allentown, Forks Township, etc., who have enacted similar legislation to protect our furry friends and their families. And I thank you for your consideration of this ordinance.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Any other discussion from members of council?
I wasn't able to attend the public safety meeting, so I also wanted to thank Ms. Cramsey Smith, as I have, for bringing this ordinance forward. Owning and caring for a pet is a great privilege and responsibility. I was a dog owner for 16 years and will be again. And the stories of mills and irresponsible breeders is heartbreaking. And the factory-style churning of animals is not only cruel, it's not needed. There are plenty of adoptable pets without large-scale breeding. So I'll be pleased to support an ordinance that helps Bethlehem take a stand against this practice.
Any other questions or comments from members of council? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Continuing on to resolutions. Resolution 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute all documents and agreements with Joseph Phillips, the Phillips and Donovan Architects, LLC. Resolution sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion. Call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute all documents and agreements with Jeffrey Long. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion. Call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute all documents and agreements with ScanTech Info Management Solutions. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor hereby authorized to execute all documents and agreements to transfer ownership of K-9 Rico from the Bethlehem Police Department to his handler, Matthew Stidell. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? Councilwoman Leon.
Congratulations to our best boy. Thank you. That's all.
Any other discussion from members of council? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10E.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and Controller, and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor, are hereby authorized to execute all documents and agreements with Michael Baker International Incorporated to provide support in connection with HUD compliance, monitoring, and audits. Resolution sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Nunes?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Plum?
Aye. Passes 7-0. I'll accept a motion and a second to consider resolutions 10F through 10H as a group.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dr. Van Wert. Enthusiastic second by Dr. Enix. Any discussion on the motion? The clerk will call the motion, or call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Plum?
Aye. Please read the resolution.
Certificates of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem resolutions are hereby granted for 459 Old York Road to construct a new ADA accessible connector between Luckenbach Mill and the Miller's House, 29 East Market Street to replace one double hung, two divided light, 6/6 wood window with custom sized double hung simulated divided light, 6/6 wood window, as well as make spot repairs to the existing stucco system, and 61 West Lehigh Street to repair, replace, and paint all trim, fascia, portable braces, and replacing the existing Yankee gutter system with existing EPDM system. Applicant also proposes to replace, repair, metal roofing system with EPDM system. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Any comments on the COAs?
Just with regard to the connector that we're looking at between Luckenbach Mill and the Miller's House, I just wanted to express my appreciation for the project. I think we're so fortunate to have access to so many wonderful historic spaces here in Bethlehem, but not all of us do. And so I just really appreciate the efforts to begin to make these spaces accessible to all.
Any other comments on the COAs? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Plum?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Moving on to new business. Just a reminder that our next city council meeting will be on Tuesday, January the 2nd at 7 p.m. State law requires that we hold our council reorganization meetings on the first Mondays in January, unless that date is a holiday. Consequently, this year's meeting will be held on Tuesday, January 2nd. On that night, we'll actually have two meetings. The first will be the final meeting of the current council, and the second meeting, the same night, will be the swearing in of the new council members and the election of new council officers. The second January council meeting will then be held on Tuesday, January the 16th. I wanted to make a couple brief remarks, and then I'll open it up to the members of council as we, the next meeting's more about a ceremony, but tonight just wanted to, one, thank everybody for another wonderful year. It's with privilege that I serve on council, and with appreciation that I get to serve as the president of city council. I thank Councilwoman Gramsci Smith as our council vice president for the times that I've not been able to attend council meetings for her leadership and being the one to preside over these meetings, sometimes fun, sometimes not as fun. And to our departing council members, just a couple things. I'll start with Mr. Pinella briefly. So Mr. Pinella, I wish you all the best, because I know by our next council meeting, when we turn things over, by then you'll already have been sworn in as a judge, so I wish you all the best. Hopefully I won't be in your chambers for anything that's not ceremonial anytime soon, but that being said, you and I were not individuals whose paths had crossed until this opportunity had presented itself, and then you came on board as our city council solicitor. So I thank you with sincere appreciation for the work that you've done for city council and for all the members of council that have reached out to you, and for how often Mr. Miller and I have had to task you with things and reach out to you, sometimes all times a day. So I appreciate your understanding, as I was always, you were always accessible, and you know, I wish you all the best in your time on the bench. Dr. Enix, you and I had met, as we spoke about before,
as audience members here at City Council probably about 10 years ago now. And then I had the joy of running into you sometimes at the grocery store and out and about in the community. And I'll never forget, I won't quote you, but you had encouraging words one of the first times I met you, and how it was that we came about getting to know each other. And then here, fast forward, roughly 8 years later, you and I both got to serve on City Council together, now concluding our second year. Ms. Santoro had already said a lot of wonderful things in summary of what the significance of your service was. But I always remind everyone, for anyone on City Council, it starts with putting your name on the ballot or putting your name in the ring for consideration. And without you deciding to do that, to ask for consideration to serve on City Council, we would have never benefited from your service. So I thank you from the beginning for even being willing to accept the challenge of those who challenged you to step up and apply to be on City Council when we had that vacancy. And I thank you for your service, serving on City Council. And I'm sure I'll be seeing you at the grocery store and other places as we move forward. Dr. Van Wert, also I thank you for your time. And I'll see you at Gracedale this week probably. But that being said, as Mayor Reynolds had mentioned, you know, we had gotten to know each other a number of years ago, first as just an active participant at council meeting, coming to comment on policy and things that were going on here in the city, and then someone who expressed interest in City Council, and then serving now for all these years on City Council. So I always thank you for your sincerity, for your perspective, sometimes different opinion than how I had or even how I voted. But I would say, as with Dr. Enix, that we always had a mutual respect for each other. I appreciated your willingness to sometimes just reach out to talk about things. And it's something that I wish you all the best and hope you're able to relax a little bit. And I know there's been some family here tonight, and it's a family effort for all of us when we're taken away from our houses on these Tuesday evenings and the other work that we do. So I hope you and Dr. Enix are able to enjoy the first and third Tuesday every month from the living room. And you know, we're always here to answer a text if you have any questions about what's going on in the city. But with my sincerest thanks, thank you, Dr. Enix and Dr. Van Wert. And I'll open it up to other members of council for any comment.
I had a question for the administration. First, I adore all three of you, and I'll tell you as much for the next couple of weeks. But I'm just thinking about Christmas on Main Street. And it was beautiful and insane. And I saw a car hit a horse and buggy. So like the Main Street over Christmas was wild. I don't own a business on Main Street. I don't do traffic. I don't know how any of this works, but I'm just thinking maybe next year if we can have some conversations about how we keep Main Street smooth and safe with just the increased interest in the city. Main Street was wild, and seeing the officers have to respond constantly to the calls from the business owners was just, I don't know, kind of dampened the mood on Main Street a little bit. So just something to consider for next year. Maybe we can have some discussions about it closer to the holidays.
Any other Councilman Francis?
Okay. Well, I also wanted to take a moment. Actually, I'd like to start by thanking Ben Veltzer and Jane Cook, who were here earlier. And I am just assuming that Lynn Rothman, who is the chair of the Environmental Advisory Council, is tuned in from home, from her home in Florida. I've been really just so proud to serve as the liaison to the EAC and continue to learn so much from that group who's so dedicated to the city. So thank you to Lynn for the report and for all of your work, and to everyone on the EAC. Also wanted to take a moment to thank our departing solicitor and council members tonight. Mr. Pinella, I wanted to thank you for your insight and your expertise in navigating in the moment issues, as you evidenced tonight, and also complex issues offline as needed. You've always been willing to help and advise us and take time to do so. I'm very, very grateful for our time together here, and I wish you the very best in your role. The county's very lucky to have you. Dr. Enix, it has been an incredible privilege to serve with you. You stepped up and stepped into a history-making role. Ms. Santoro gave a beautiful depiction, description of you and what you brought to this role, and you served with heart and curiosity and boldness and confidence and competence, and you just set an incredible example for all of us and for everybody in the community. Thank you so much. I'm deeply inspired by you. Dr. Grinwert, well, I admired you for a long time from afar. You know, before I was serving on council, you may not have known that. I'm not going to lie. I was a little intimidated to have to sit next to you up here. You set an incredibly high standard for all of us in terms of your knowledge and intellect and boldness and willing to ask difficult questions and really take a stand. And as a new council person, you were always willing to take time to answer my questions. You've spent hours talking with me about things. In fact, walking up and down Grandview Boulevard and the perimeter of the Hanover apartment site, we may not have been seen, but we were there. I'm just so grateful for your time. And I remember the last meeting of 2021 before I was sworn in as a new council person, listening to the comments that were made to departing council people then, and I will never forget that you aptly described Councilwoman Negron as having had big wings. And that's how I feel about you in your professional life and here on council. Just very grateful for your guidance and your example, and very grateful to call you a friend. Thank you all for your service.
Councilwoman Cramsey-Smith.
Thank you. Very, very well spoken, Councilman Wilhelm. I just wanted to say again, thank you to everyone. Attorney Pinella, I really appreciate it. I can never even put into words all the assistance you've given me over the years. I really appreciate it. Northampton County Stain is definitely our loss. I know you're going to be a great judge, and I too, like President Colon, hope that I'll never have to see you in chambers or in the courtroom. But anyway, all the best to you.
Thank you.
And Councilwoman Dr. Van Wart and Dr. Enix, it really has been a privilege and an honor to serve with you. I think that I have such admiration and respect for both of you, and Bethlehem has really been enriched and better because of your time and talents on council. I just want to say thank you, and I hope you have a good retirement from council, and maybe you'll both retire someday.
Any other comments? Councilwoman Quita.
I guess it's my turn. What did Don Cunningham used to say? Everything has already been said, but not by everybody. So, I do want to thank Attorney Pinella, Judge-elect Pinella. Oh my gosh, for all of his help and his support, especially during some of the more difficult times that we've had right here in the moment over the course of the last 2 years. It's been great to know that you were there, at least sometimes to tell me that I was not crazy. Dr. Enix, it was such an honor to be part of the process of bringing you on board as one of our very first acts as a new council. We, some of us freshly elected and not really knowing the ropes either, and to learn it all next to you, to learn from you. And thank you for coming and sharing your wisdom at Lehigh last year on MLK Day, and all the thought that you have put into your role. Sometimes I sit here, and when you're sharing during new business, I'll read your incredible, beautiful cursive handwriting over your shoulder while you're speaking it, and I just love the way you write and the way that you have expressed yourself over the last couple of years. So thank you for that. Dr. Van Wert, I'm looking forward to a beer in your garden and a new fig tree and more talking about parking and affordable housing for years to come. And thank you for everything that you have done to help me get my bearings here and find my voice here. I so appreciate that. So on other matters, I'm very excited about the Broad Street project. People probably know that the $10 million grant is going to do so much to transform West Bethlehem in such a great way. And to make Broad Street safer is
something that's been a goal of mine. But on top of that, what it's going to do for the small businesses on Broad Street, I think, is something that no one can really even imagine. Very excited about that. I wanted to thank people who helped, two unhoused folks who took up shelter under the Second Avenue ramp in West Bethlehem this past week. You know, when we talk about homelessness, when we talk about trying to address the issue, until you really look at each person, you know, each story is different, each situation is different, and each solution is different, and it just shows that what we need is a really coordinated system of wraparound care to address these issues. So I want to thank the police department, the health department, New Bethany, the Bethlehem Emergency Shelter, and some of my neighbors who on the Nextdoor app came together and not only provided them with some things to help them stay warm and dry, but also to address what was one of the situations that they were, you know, struggling with, which were their pets. And, you know, we're talking about protecting pets and today with our puppy mill ordinance that Councilwoman Cramsey Smith brought forth. But, you know, sometimes people come here and they're like, well, there are some people who just don't want to find a home, or they just want to live, you know, out in a tent or something. It's never that simple. Every story is different and unique. And so, again, that incredible coming together of government, nonprofit, and just community people, neighbors who cared to help these folks is something that we really should applaud. And I think that's all I want to say. So, thank you.
Any other comments from members of council? Dr. Van Wert?
Just briefly, I did want to say thank you to this council. I've learned something about courage from every single person up on this council, and it's really been my honor to serve with you. It's hard for me not to give some parting advice, but I got to do it, which is, please don't let the loudest voices in the room win, and remember that going forward. And your cohesion is your power. It doesn't mean you have to agree with everything, but being cohesive in a council allows things to move forward with the city that need to move forward. So we've been a great cohesive council, and I think there's an enormous amount of power in that. And I would like to say that municipal politics is where it's at. I love it. I love every minute up here. And I just thank you to the citizens for allowing me to serve. And it's been a true honor. Thank you.
Any other comments from members of council?
Let me just say, in somebody else's words, all the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances. This is one of my exits, and I thank the citizens of Bethlehem for allowing me to serve.
Mel, did you want to say something?
Just briefly, I've been a big believer that a solicitor, if you are a solicitor and you talk a lot during a meeting, then you have not done your job prior to the meeting. So I hope I have lived up to that by remaining quiet for most of these. But honestly and truly, I know some jabs were taken at this, but I feel comfortable saying that it is the highlight of my career. The highlight of my career, serving the largest and best city. I'm from Easton, so don't tell Sal. The largest and best municipality here in Northampton County, and I mean that genuinely. Councilwoman Smith, you've become one of my best friends. Dr. Enix, on my first day on the job, we made history here in Bethlehem. Councilwoman, you've never been afraid to ask the difficult questions, and I appreciate that. President Colon, we've had an amazing working relationship, and I always appreciate that. Councilwoman Leon, you've always asked the interesting questions.
Dr. Van Wert, you've asked appropriately the hard questions every single day, whether it was privately or otherwise, and I think you've always pushed a difficult conversation that needed to happen and that needs to continue, and I hope someone does. And Councilman Wilhelm, you quite literally married my wife and I. So thank you. And to the people of Bethlehem, you don't understand sometimes, and I mean this genuinely, to the people that are sitting towards my right and your left, the amount of conversations that happen, and especially with the people here up on the dais, the amount of conversations that happen with everybody in this room, the amount of planning that goes on, the amount of everything that goes on, the amount that these people genuinely care, from the seven council members and Mr. Bodoni when you were serving as a clerk, to Mr. Miller, to both chiefs that are here and everybody in between, and Mr. Mayor and Mr. Spurk, I've learned a lot from you as well. An immense amount of planning goes into every decision that is ever made. It has been an honor, and genuinely thank you all so much. Please know me. Please know me personally and never professionally. Thank you all very much.
To all a good night.
To all a good night.
On behalf of council, we wish everyone a joyful holiday season, a peaceful 2024. Get home safely, everybody. Yeah.